The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Here's Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Oh, baby, what a night of the NFL draft last night. Amazing trades, amazing drama. Doesn't get better than this. Welcome to Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, kicking it around for the next hour, getting you prepped and ready for rounds two and rounds three. George, amazing drama throughout. I mean, we knew that Trayvon Walker most likely would have been the number one overall pick when Roger Goodell went to the podium. He did select and did announce Trayvon Walker as the number one overall select, followed by Aiden Hutchinson. But after that, things got crazy, and I think it was one of the most amazing drafts in terms of the trades and some teams really bettering their roster this year.
Oh, the draft was nuts. It was drunk.
Nuts.
It was absolutely drunk. It was great. I mean, you could take your Survivor, your American Idol, Big Brother. The NFL draft is the best reality show on TV because nobody knows what's going to happen. A.J. Brown gets, Marquise Brown gets traded. This guy gets traded. My God, Debo Samuel didn't get traded. It was wild. Green Bay doesn't take a wide receiver. Screw Aaron Rodgers, right? This was fantastic, Joe.
Really was amazing. I mean, if you would have said on draft night that Debo Samuel would have still been on the San Francisco 49ers, that, you know, Baltimore would have taken one of their most explosive weapons and traded him, along with the Tennessee Titans, who, you know, came out and said they wanted A.J. Brown potentially still on their roster to benefit Ryan Tannehill, right? And then basically a week later, these players are on different squads, and then that really changed and transformed the top 32. And we said it at the number six slot with Carolina as well. They would dictate the quarterback market. Whatever Carolina did in the six hole, whether they pulled the trigger on Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis, that would really dictate the dominoes falling in slots eight and nine with Atlanta and Seattle respectively, and for teams like New Orleans and Pittsburgh as well. And when you look back and you say, Kenny Pickett's the only quarterback selected in the first round, what happened? The way that Malik Willis was hyped over the last month heading up into the draft has to be one of the most, dramatic drops in terms of quarterbacks dropping in the first round to potentially, he might even fall into the third round at this point.
I doubt he'll fall into the third round. That being said, hey, my original bet was over 3.5 quarterbacks in the first round, so what do I know? I think he'll be taken out really at the top of round two. I think it's where he's going to go now. I'm surprised. Actually, I'm surprised really Pickett went over Willis. I think I'd have rather had Willis if I had my choice there. But Pickett, as Andrew said before the show, hometown guy. You know, I think Mike Tomlin had a great line here. We looked all over the world for our quarterback, and we took the guy next door. Right? So right. It's funny. So they got that guy there. Except I think if you would ask me the one thing I'm taking from a draft, or the first round of a draft last night, it was that some teams were dying for a wide receiver and were willing to pay for it, both in cash and draft their prospects, and other teams couldn't wait to get rid of them. Right? I mean, you think about it. Baltimore trade. I mean, we didn't even think about Marquise Brown. We had talked about A.J. Brown a couple of times, right? When you and I were doing the show together, Tennessee was thinking about trading. We know about Debo. Metcalf, man, maybe he goes, maybe he doesn't. But Marquise Brown, we never mentioned here. And then Baltimore doesn't pick a wide receiver in the first round. Maybe they're going to get one in the second round. And other teams couldn't wait to get him, right? Philadelphia, we'll give you what you want from him. They give him a 4-year, $100 million contract. All that sort of thing. So it's either you want him or you didn't want him. And if you didn't want him, maybe you do want the guy that will draft him. Maybe we'll have him for 4 years, maybe 5 years, to pick up that option. And it'll cost a fraction of what these guys want now. A fraction. And we'll get 80% of the same player. So I think it's wide receivers, in my mind, is the talk of the draft. Now, I know quarterback, the fact that only one went, but we knew there were going to be some issues there. But wide receiver in the NFL, did the Jacksonville Jaguars ruin wide receiver for everybody by paying Kirk so much money?
I don't think they ruined it, George. I think that when you look at some of the playmakers that you just mentioned, right? A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin was in that group in terms of potentially sitting out, right? And Debo Samuel. Well, Debo Samuel was not a first-round selection, right? He went in the third round by way of South Carolina. He was developed and really broke out last year with a 1,400-yard receiving performance, 369 rushing yards. He averaged 6.2 yards per carry. But the way he progressed in the scheme, I think, has teams saying, you know what, we could develop a wide receiver. You know, there's other wide receivers as well that have hit the ground running. Cooper Kupp was not a pure number one, wasn't taken in the first round, right? He was developed throughout the organization with Sean McVay and that L.A. Rams offense. So I think that's the way teams view wide receivers. Now, I'll say this about teams in need, right? Detroit trading up with Minnesota to get a wide receiver. I mean, what are you doing, Minnesota, number one? Why do you even allow a division opponent to get a quality player that maybe you could have taken to help your offense? Not saying Jameson Williams, but maybe an offensive lineman or a player that could start immediately. Why do you allow Detroit and Dan Campbell to get the wide receiver to help out Jared Goff is amazing to me. And I'll say this, Jameson Williams to fall in the 12 hole is one unbelievable to me. He is so much better than Drake London, and we'll talk about this on the back end when we come back from break, that it's astronomical. I can't even talk right now. We'll come right back. Football full circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, breaking down all things NFL draft. Round number one was amazing. We have rounds two and three later tonight. Sports Grid will be there live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Coverage starts at 9 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. Eastern tonight. That's 6 to 9 Pacific. It'll be me, Mike Blewett, Adam Kaplan. We'll be breaking down rounds 2 and 3. And then tomorrow, it'll be me, Blewett, Carver, and Dave Sharapan. So that should be interesting in terms of rounds 3 to 7. Can't wait for that. A great group of guys breaking down the NFL draft. But oh, you liked the green suit last night, right? By Sharapan. He looked like he was part of Notre Dame last night. The lucky leprechaun, rooting in the Irish with Kyle Hamilton. You didn't like the jacket by Sharapan?
I did. I actually did like it. It was very loud. You know, it certainly announced his presence there. But yes, I dug it. I dug it.
Dave's a great guy and gives great information in terms of the sportsbook perspective. Like I said, he'll be working with Gabe and Pharrell, I believe, Saturday morning as well. Coverage starts. We have six-hour coverage for rounds 3 through 7. But you want to join in on the conversation, tell us your thoughts about your team, how they did in the draft, give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. I left off talking about Jameson Williams going to Detroit. I mean, Detroit clearly needed a wide receiver to really put weapons around Jared Goff. They had Hockenson, their big play tight end. They did get DJ Chark over from Jacksonville. Good wide receiver, but not an elite number one. They really needed to upgrade speed on the perimeter, and that's what Jameson Williams does and provides that offense now. Plus, right, George, they want to ground and pound. Typically, Dan Campbell doesn't want to have Jared Goff throw 40 to 50 times a game. He wants a more balanced offense, but he wants playmakers on the perimeter. What I did find interesting last night is that when Atlanta selects Drake London at number 8 as the first wide receiver taken off the board. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Drake London, good hybrid type of wide receiver. Good. Yes, lower first round, maybe 28 to 32 in that area. Not first wide receiver taken off the board. Not ahead of Garrett Wilson. Not ahead of Jameson Williams, two burners that could just take the top off opposing defenses in terms of the secondary. Pure speed guys, right? I mean, Drake London, big catch radius, catches the football at its highest point. But, I mean, come on now. I mean, are we really buying into Drake London being this elite wide receiver?
I agree with you, and I agree with parts of what you said, and don't agree on other parts. I don't think he should have been the first receiver taken, so I agree there. All right, I'm just, as you said, he is a hybrid. He's not that pure number one. I want that kind of guy. If I'm going to take a wide receiver, the first wide receiver taken in a strong wide receiver draft, I want the guy who might be that, you know, the Davante Adams guy. You know, it might be that guy. You know, and I don't see this happening here. You know, not that it's a terrible pick. If he would have been, like I said, second or third wide receiver, I'm probably not complaining, but I probably would have taken Wilson. I may not have taken Jameson Williams. He is coming off the ACL. This year is probably a bust year. You know, he's not going to do that much. I imagine he starts on PUP. So we're not going to see him until about halfway through the season here. So I understand why he might fall a bit. You know, well, the way you're not going to take him as the first wide receiver taken. I have no doubt that if Williams didn't tear his ACL, that he would be the first, number one. No doubt at all here. But I understand why they wouldn't take him there. But I wouldn't have taken London.
No, I get that. I get that. I guess the problem that I have with Atlanta and Drake London is he's a big wide receiver. And you know, we always talk about schools being known for certain attributes and characteristics on the next level, right? We always talk about Georgia being running back you, Penn State being linebacker you, and for years, Penn State sending guys to the NFL at the linebacker position. They weaned off in, let's say, the middle part of the decade, and now all of a sudden Micah Parsons kickstarts that all over again, that narrative. We talked about USC quarterbacks for recent years, right? Well, what about the wide receivers from USC not panning out in terms of elite number one, elite? And I mean for long periods of time. I'm not talking about 1 year where they step up and they produce. Where are they 2 and 3 and 4 years down the road? I could go through the list. I mean, Keyshawn Johnson is historically the best USC wide receiver, Curtis Conway, right? But let's look at all the flops. Mike Williams never panned out, right? In terms of his days in the NFL, couldn't cut it for Seattle. Okay, you have Robert Woods, a good number two. Michael Pittman, he's not an elite number one. Steve Smith had that 1 year. Juju Smith. Okay, he had such a great first couple of seasons with Pittsburgh. Where is he now? Where is Juju Smith-Schuster now? So when you look at the body of work from USC wide receivers in terms of the next level, they don't really pan out to elite number ones. And if you're Atlanta, what are you doing then? You could have, I mean, if you really wanted to just get a wide receiver to make up for Calvin Ridley, you could have did that with Jahan Dotson. You could have did that with Treylon Burks. You didn't need to use the number 8th overall selection in the draft on Drake London, especially when last year you rolled the dice with Kyle Pitts and didn't take your quarterback of the future. So explain to me the mindset, okay, with the wide receivers for Atlanta when your win total is 4.5 for the year. Are you really expecting to win a division title this year? Are you expecting to challenge for a award? Now this is 2 years top 10 pick, and I'm not saying you had to take Malik Willis, but you take Kenny Pickett. Take a quarterback that could potentially be starting in a year. Whether you love him or you hate him, we know that Mariota in the next couple of years is not the long-term solution to lead this team to the promised land.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you're saying. The problem is the draft didn't play out that way. You know what I mean by that is no quarterback went till 20. So these teams apparently don't believe in these quarterbacks, any of them. They just don't believe. All right, Pittsburgh took the only quarterback in the first round. So taking a quarterback at 8 probably would have been a mistake in this case. All right, you mentioned as far as London should go in the 28 to 32 range. Well, 6 quarterbacks went in the top 18 picks. That wasn't going to happen either. All right, teams were dying to get a quarterback, even a wide receiver. Even if they thought that maybe he's not that kind of guy, they were still going up to get one. And part of that is because they wanted to make sure they get there ahead of Green Bay, ahead of Baltimore, teams that needed wide receivers. And I get that. I don't like the pick. I don't. You know, you and I talked about this before we draft. I don't think I would have taken it. I'm sure Atlanta, I don't want to say I'm sure, but Atlanta, maybe they tried to trade down. And see, it looks like teams in the top 10, they weren't getting the value to trade down. They just weren't. It was that kind of they. In my mind, in this draft, there's no franchise players, no truly franchise players. I'm talking about, you know, Grace was just going to be, wow, you got that guy. You're going to be a very good, you know, very good, the great team right away. There was no player like that in this draft. Good draft, deep draft, but no, not those kind of players here. So I think Atlanta sort of got screwed there. But I said this on yesterday's show, and I truly believe it. You had the fourth overall choice last year, 8th overall choice this year, and you don't have a quarterback.
And you got two wide receivers. You got two wide receivers.
I like Pitts.
But you know what the narrative, George? You know what's crazy? We let off this show saying that teams don't value wide receivers that you could, right? Because A.J. Brown's on the move. Marquise Brown's on the move, right? So that's one narrative. You could, okay, got it. But then why are the Atlanta Falcons in back-to-back years rolling the dice with two top 10 picks for wide receivers? If that's the narrative, going with the mindset of NFL teams, what's the fascination to get a wide receiver then? That's completely opposite 360 degrees the other way.
I'll defend them here. I don't agree with this. I don't believe this, mind you, but I'll just take the opposite viewpoint here. BPA. They just want the best player available on their board, Joe. That's the only way I can defend this. And if that's the truth, if that's what they did, then I'm okay with it. Because I'm never going to knock a team for BPA. You know, almost never. You know, if that's what you did, and he was their best player they had on their board, he was better than a linebacker, better than this, better than that, fine. I wouldn't have done this, mind you, but I can live with that.
You better get to the playoffs in 2 years. We'll see how it plays out when we come back. Quarterback talk. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
By continuing the conversation of NFL draft talk, we left off ripping the Atlanta Falcons, or at least I was ripping the Atlanta Falcons for selecting Drake London, who I think is not even in the top three in terms of wide receivers in this draft. It would have taken Jahan Dotson, would have taken Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, and Garrett Wilson, all ahead of Drake London. He's a hybrid type of guy. Yes, he catches the football at its highest point, but he's not a burner. He's not a blocker, and he's a player that I still think is a raw route runner, but we'll see how it plays out for the Atlanta Falcons. We talked about the wide receivers. There are some interesting bets right now on Malik Willis on FanDuel. Team to draft Malik Willis next. We go through the list on FanDuel, George. Seattle plus 250, Minnesota plus 340, Tennessee plus 340, Tampa Bay plus 600, which can't see that. Atlanta 9-1, and then Carolina 9-1, which, well, look at the draft order right now in round two. Tampa Bay at 33, Minnesota at 34, Tennessee at 35. That's the trade from the Jets. Giants, Houston, Jets, Bears, Seattle, and then Seattle, 40 and 41 respectively. Where do you see Malik Willis going in that order? Because I got to be honest with you, if it's not to Seattle, I think he could potentially fall out of the second round. I really do, unless maybe he goes to Detroit at 46.
All right, so you look at this. It won't be Tampa and Minnesota. We know that, right? He's not going 1-2. I guess Tennessee would be a small shot. People did think that maybe Tennessee would take a quarterback, but I don't think so. So I don't think he's going there. Could the Giants do it? Could the Giants? I mean, we found out before the draft yesterday they didn't pick up Daniel Jones' option. So they will need a quarterback next year. Not this season, next season. All right? I mean,
let me just stop you there, because that is intriguing, that if it plays out that way, okay, and I'll tell you why, that if the Giants in the 36th hole select Malik Willis, okay, the algorithms for the books are amazing, because FanDuel did have Malik Willis tied to the Giants, and we said it all pre-draft talk. That how could the algorithm and how could the books have Malik Willis attached to the Giants? He was like at one point 14 to 1 or 16 to 1, and then he was back up to 20 to 1. But they didn't have Kenny Pickett tied to the Giants. And we found that fascinating. Kenny Pickett was the Jersey kid. He was the East Coast kid that played at Heinz Field. Why wouldn't you have both quarterbacks tied if you believe one could go to the Giants, right? Now, if Malik Willis does fall to the Giants at 36, that would be an amazing bet, because they're not even on the board right now, right? Think about it. They're at 16 to 1. You got to scroll all the way down to find the New York Giants on this list on FanDuel. They are the 1, 2, 3, 4. They're like the 10th slot right now. And, yes, they are in the 36th hole. So that would be amazing, no?
I think it'd be great. Giants already had a really good draft, right? The draft sort of fell to them very nicely in the first round, right? And we can't be that surprised. A lot of people did think that's how the draft would go, but they got two very good players, right? You get the pass rusher, and you get the top blocker. I mean, wow, very good here. Now you get the quarterback. And it's like, you need one. You already know you didn't pick up the option on Jones, so you're going to need one in 2023. You're going to need one. And now if you do this, then you have to worry about next year's first round, say quarterback next year, because you may not be in position to take one next year. Maybe you're not going to be terrible. NFC East generally is a little watered down here. You did get a little better, right? Dallas theoretically got worse. Philadelphia got better. Washington looks like they've gotten better, but nobody's great here. So you can't guarantee you're going to be in the top 10 again next year. I think Giants taking Willis makes sense here. The bottom line for me is this. Let's just say you're Seattle at 8-9, and you want Willis. You got to get ahead of the Giants. That's I'd be worried. Yeah. So I think that's where it starts. I think that's where it starts. I don't think Houston would do it at 37. Maybe I give it a shot, but maybe Jets and no, Chicago's no. I would be floored. Let's just say Willis, the Giants don't take him at 36. I'd be floored if Wilson goes past 40 or 41. Back-to-back picks for the Hawks, and you know you need a quarterback. We can't say this enough. I'm Pete Carroll, come on. What are you going to do here? So, you think you're going to be a survive with, Locke? And you're, what are you, 92 years old? Come on. I can't see how he passes 41.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, let's bring in our great producer, Andrew Torres. He's got to be happy. He got his quarterback last night, Kenny Pickett, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know Scott Farrell was ecstatic. Mike Blewett as well. Andrew, you happy with Kenny Pickett in Steeltown, you know, playing his NFL career there, potentially 10, 15-year career, leading the Steelers to possibly AFC championships and Super Bowl titles?
The key word that you use there, Joe, is potential. You know, you see how many times you see players in college that are really, really good, and then they come to the league. I am really excited that he was from the University of Pittsburgh, and now he gets to stay in Pittsburgh. And if you see his reaction to getting drafted by the Steelers, it just kind of says it all as far as how he's feeling about everything. It's really kind of cool to see how much he really wanted to play for the Steelers and for him to be drafted by them and, you know, really look like he's going to be the quarterback of the future. It makes for a great story, and I am super excited for him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him wear the black and gold for the Steelers this year. My only thing is, it makes for a great story, but the question is, will it be a great story? And I really hope so, and I do look forward to this season for the Steelers. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, but I do think he is the quarterback of the future that can be here for 10 to 15 years, but we will see how he transitions from college to the NFL. Although, it was nice that he was playing in pretty much the same stadium, sometimes playing for Pittsburgh as the Steelers and the Panthers share Heinz Field, but I think it's awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does for the Steelers.
Yeah, only time will tell. We'll see how it plays out this year. But give us your thoughts about the Malik Willis situation. Do you see him going to Seattle like George said? He wouldn't slip past 40 or 41? Or do you see, you know, it is, give me your thoughts. You think the Giants or the Texans, 36 or 37 they select, could the Giants or Texans take Willis there?
Honestly, I think the Texans' need for a quarterback is much greater than the other teams that are in that spot. You know, you talk about Seattle, their need for a quarterback. The Texans are in a worse spot, and I think that their need to just kind of restart everything.
Like, what with those guys?
I think the Texans are in a more desperate spot. And I think for them, their need for that is more valuable. And I think that that's the direction that they'd probably like to go in. But who
George,
knows?
Let me ask you this. The reason why I brought it up, right? Because you have back-to-back selections, okay? Giants to Willis are 16-1 on FanDuel. Houston, 30-1. Which means if you're buying into this valuation, it looks like they're not going to select Malik Willis, right? If the Giants don't, it's definitely not going to be Houston. Then you look to either, like I said, Seattle at plus 250 or some of the other teams, right? Because that's such a huge discrepancy. 16-1 versus 30-1, and they have back-to-back selections, right? So if let's just say he does slip past 41. Where do you see him going? Atlanta at 43? You could pick that up at 9-1 right now on FanDuel.
All right, so we'll say if he slips here, Atlanta, that's obviously the next obvious landing spot, right? It won't be Cleveland at 44, Baltimore, Detroit. You already said Detroit at 46, Washington at 47 would make some sense there, although I don't think Washington's doing it. And Detroit, if they really wanted him, they could have already had him, right? I mean, they made the big move to trade it with Jameson Williams, which I don't mind, but it means they weren't really looking for a quarterback then. So I don't think Detroit would ever trade up for him, by the way, because they've already made that decision. Now he falls to us, fine, but we're not trading up to get him here. In my mind is this. I think teams are coming in and going to go. I think the quarterbacks, as far as Willis, Corral, Ritter, Howell, they may all go early here in the second round. So teams are going to be looking to trade up here. But you got to get ahead of the Giants at 46. That's the first team I'd be worried about. I'm not saying they will do it. And listen, Houston wouldn't shock me at 37 either. As I said, when I was talking about Andrew about Mills, he said about worst quarterback situation. I probably put the Giants as worse than Houston. At least you got a quarterback next year. Giants don't. Daniel does terrible anyway. It's Seattle's a joke with what they have there. Lock and Smith and 90-year-old Pete Carroll. They need somebody now. So I just can't see how he falls past Seattle. I just can't. In fact, if I'm Seattle, I'm probably a team that's looking to get ahead of the Giants. I want to make sure I get my guy, whether it be Willis, Corral, whoever it might be. So that's what I get back-to-back picks here. I'm probably trading one of them and, you know, a fifth or whatever the chart tells me to do to get ahead of the Giants.
Well, here's you look at two teams, Tampa Bay at 33. I don't think they go quarterback. Now, they're 6-1 on FanDuel, which, all right, 6-1 for Tampa Bay. I mean, come on. They went with Kyle Trask last year in the third round. I mean, why draft Kyle Trask if he's not your quarterback or at least going to give the kid an opportunity to start? Minnesota's intriguing. They take Kellen Mond last year in the third round, Mr. Robotic, that couldn't pan out. He was a 59% completion percentage passer for 3 years in College Station. Wasn't until he was with Jimbo in year number four that he got over 60 and set an all-time, you know, Texas A&M record tying Johnny Manziel. That's why he was drafted. But outside of that, just a pedestrian quarterback. Do they look to back up Kirk Cousins? I mean, come on now. They had Sean Mannion as the backup last year. I mean, Sean Mannion was a 15.5-point over for Cousins when he had COVID against Green Bay. He threw for like 82 yards. Could they go quarterback, George? No. Yes or no?
No, unless Minnesota, no. I'd be surprised. Yeah, I think they're going to go cornerback, Booth, and go back-to-back secondary picks. Maybe they go the linebacker and Dean here. But I'm going to say no, they're not going to go cornerback.
All right, when we come back, we'll break down some position needs, running backs, along with some more wide receivers. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, wrapping up today's show, we just left off talking about which team will draft Malik Willis potentially in the second round. There's some good value out there. Atlanta at 9-1 is live if he can get there, obviously. And then George brought up the point that if Atlanta does get Malik Willis in the second round at 43 overall, do I feel better about the picks of Pitts and London? And I'd say yes, better about Pitts, because Pitts was a physical specimen. But London, to me, does not warrant or grade out to a top 10 pick. So that's where I stand on both of those. Right now on FanDuel, Malik Willis to be selected as the second quarterback, minus 700. Dez Ridder, plus 430. Sam Howell, 11-1. And my guy, Matt Corral, at 16-1, followed by Carson Strong at 50-1. Carson Strong is a little bit banged up, but he is I believe a good player as well from Nevada. Could be in the area where Trask was last year for Florida. But I do want to turn our attention, George, to the running back market quickly. Breece Hall's been mentioned as the front runner. Just like Aiden Hutchinson was for much of the offseason, he's minus 210 on FanDuel, followed by Kenneth Walker at plus 210. And that's where I want to go right now in the sense of, when you look at Breece Hall, 6'1", 220, rushed for 1,400 yards, did it in the Big 12. I understand he averaged over 5 yards per carry, 20 touchdowns last year. They were 7-6 overall under Matt Campbell. 2 years ago, he rushed for 21 touchdowns on the ground. A better season, in my opinion, in 2020 than 2021. Iowa State was a little overinflated, but I have concerns about Breece Hall on the next level. And when we're pumping up the running backs on the next level in terms of, you know, can they play for three downs? Can they catch the football out of the backfield? Are they elite? Do they have great vision? I think there's clearly one running back that is head and shoulders above the rest right now, and I think that's Kenneth Walker right now. I think Kenneth Walker, for much of the year, last year, on a national stage, stepped up and proved that he was one of the best running backs in college football. That's why he was mentioned for the Heisman Trophy heading into like week 11 in Columbus. They did shut him down at that point, and then he fell out of the limelight. Breece Hall had 5 games under 100 yards last year. I mean, teams like Northern Iowa. I mean, good defenses, right? Texas Tech, he rushed for less than 60. Oklahoma, less than 60. I mean, we're pumping up Breece Hall like he's the second coming of Emmitt Smith. He's not. And Kenneth Walker, in my opinion, has the physical attributes to be that Derrick Henry type of playmaker on the next level. I think he's got great value at plus 210.
I think the problem with Walker, or at least why Hall is ranked ahead of him by most people, is that What doesn't he do well, or his biggest question marks, maybe more to be fair, catching the ball and pass protection, something you need to be able to do nowadays. All right, it's just, even Derrick Henry nowadays has to be able to catch the ball, right? No matter how he goes, they need him to be able to catch the ball more to be that threat out of the backfield, but you have to be able to protect your quarterback. You got to be able to pick up that blitz. Yeah, listen, this is not to say that Kenneth Walker can't do it. They'll certainly teach him how to do that on the this level. And he's still going to be a top pick. At least I think he'll be in the second round. But I think that's why Hall will go ahead of him. He's just a little bit better in that situation. Teams will feel better about protecting their, $200 million quarterback, whatever, however much their quarterback is here. That's my only answer for you, is why Hall might go ahead of Walker.
This is a very deep second and third and even fourth rounds if you're looking for running back talent. I'll throw names out there. Jaylen Warren's in this draft, patient runner from Oklahoma State. You have Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma that I think could be one of the players that does get selected in the second or third round. Ty Davis Price from LSU. You mentioned some of the others. James Cook, Zamir White from the national championship team of Georgia are on that list. That's Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook, right? Can catch the football out of the backfield. He's explosive, and just think of chunk yards after catch. That's what he brings a potential offense. So Isaiah Spiller as well, an SEC talent, leading rusher for the Texas A&M Aggies. Keep an eye out for him in terms of the next level. He's a dual threat. Maybe you could pick him up potentially the second or the third rounds. Those are some of the running backs that could potentially surprise. I talked yesterday about Jelani Woods. I'm sitting on this ticket at plus 850 as first tight end selected, George, and you nailed it. I said that FanDuel had the prop up one running back, which was a half, and one tight end in the first round. I mean, we didn't even get more than one quarterback selected in the first round. Now, that should have been a prop bet. One quarterback, no running backs, and no tight end selected in the first round. They should have given you plus money on that. How do you think? I mean, were you shocked in terms of no running backs and tight ends last night?
No, I had that bet. Told you that yesterday, right? I had no running backs and no tight ends. Nowadays, I'm probably more shocked when a running back does go in the first round. Teams just devalue it so much. And we talked about it yesterday. It's all the collisions they're in, whether it be blocking, running. The odds of these guys getting a second contract is not good. So it's not worth spending that kind of capital, a first-round pick, and a running back. We'll just wait till later we'll get one. And they also, so many teams are finding good running backs in the third, fourth round. So they just wait. Yeah, so I'm not surprised at all. I was worried about Woods. I told you, yes, that's the guy I was worried about because you were playing him up. I'm like, oh. You know, and I've heard other people. I know he's a guy that some people could make the reasoning about, well, not only is he the best tight end, but he's a good blocker too. So he's really a part offensive lineman as well. That's how they're like, you know, someone could do this. And, you know, if you would have told me, if you would have told me yesterday that no receivers were going to be picked after 18 and only one quarterback was going to go, I would have thought Woods went. All right, fine, Woods got in there then. I would have thought that. So as frustrated as I was not to hit my over on the receivers, I was over 6.5, and I'm still angry about this, by the way, that I missed. I mean, like I said, 6 went in the first 18. None went in the last 14 picks. This bothers me immensely. The quarterbacks don't, because I knew sort of going in I was going to lose that bet. It wasn't even close. I'd rather get wrecked. I'm not even close in the bet revenue. I just barely lose. But it bothers me more that you know, I didn't get the wide receivers. I got the tight end running back right, but I didn't get the wide receivers. That's it's still annoying me now. But I think Woods, once again, is going to be a top pick in the second round.
Yeah, I'm still, I mean, he's still alive, obviously, no tight end selected. As long as he can go ahead of anybody, if somebody reaches up to Grant, and he's a physical specimen, 6'7", 250. He looks like the biggest player on the field when he's just out there in terms of mismatched on a nickelback. Safety or a linebacker. It's incredible. He's got great size. He's still a little raw, but, you know, some other notables that fell out last night, and you think about Georgia in terms of five first-round selections, right? Trayvon Walker, we had Jordan Davis, Quay Walker signed, and Devontae Wyatt as well. But, you know, N'Kobe Dean was the best player as well on that defense. An active linebacker that can run sideline to sideline. Shocked that he wasn't in the top 32 when you think about some of the other players selected at the bottom half of the first round. His number right now is 41.5, minus 114 either way. I think it's still an under. He deserves to be taken 41 or less. He's that type of player, and the team that does get him, I think, is going to be fantastic. They're going to be ecstatic that they have N'Kobe Dean on their roster. So I'm going under 41.5. The other player, too, that I was high on is Matt Corral. Now, he had a first round prior, right, pre-selection of 34.5. He's ballooned now because we saw the quarterbacks fall. 58.5 is his under and over, juiced to the over now, minus 130. I was talking to Cap last night. He said there's some issues there. All right, I'll take his word for it in terms of that. I mean, in terms of play, I still think Matt Corral is the best quarterback in this draft. As long as he has his head on straight, I think he's definitely a quarterback, you know, second round selection. Definite, and I would take him over Malik Willis. Did want to get your take, George, in terms of one other player. You know, Christian Watson was a guy that the media hyped just as much as Malik Willis in terms of the, you know, the small town and small college prospect, Cooper Kupp type, and he was thought of as a potential first round selection. And when you saw the playmakers that went off in terms of the first 18 selections, all right, Christian Watson's good, but again, at North Dakota State, he's like Trey Lance. I mean, do you feel like the media hyped up Malik Willis, Christian Watson, Sky Moore, just to get the narrative going, you know, because I feel that way. I mean, I think the media is afraid to say, you know what, this player isn't valued at that level. They don't want the backlash. They're afraid to put their necks on the line and say, well, I was wrong. Do you feel like that was the narrative with Willis, Christian Watson, and potentially Sky Moore last night?
Oh, I think it's probably a narrative of most players, right? They all get built up to be great. Come on, what was the last time you really heard someone say, he's all right, nothing special? It's rare. All right, they all have all great things to say about all these players. So, yeah, there's definitely hype, especially with the quarterbacks. And we all know this, an NFL quarterback-driven league, it's always going to be the hype for the quarterbacks. But, yeah, I think there are some other positions where players get built up for whatever reason. Somebody sees them once, they had a good game, and they build them up. You know, you never saw the guy or the kid again. You just have to see them the one time he had a great game. You know, so I think that happens. And the reverse can happen, too, by the way. The one time you see the guy is terrible and you don't talk about him ever again. So, yeah, I think what you said is absolutely correct here, where players get built up for whatever reason. I think it is more the quarterback than the wide receiver. But that being said, I do expect Christian Watson. I expect all these receivers. Like I said, it wouldn't shock me if another 6 to 8 go in the second round.
I want to bring up one team in particular because there's positive money on their next selection, Denver. Linebacker plus 450 on FanDuel, D lineman plus 450, offensive lineman plus 450, running back, which, why do you need a running back? 5-1, George, cornerback 4-1, and tight end plus 750. You're getting at least 4-1 across the board on Denver's next pick. You want to take a shot?
Well, Denver, they got the last pick of the second round, right? So, man, you're waiting a long time to get your first pick of the draft. I got to think it's BPA, that they're not going to target any specific position here. I don't think it'll be running back. I don't think it'll be quarterback. But anything after that, I think it could be here. And you bring in Russell Wilson, you really don't need weapons for him. Offensive line? Can we look at an offensive line for Russ here in Denver? If I was going to bet, that's where I'm going to go. Give him some protection.
I'm gonna go linebacker, right? Or tight end. Say it again.
I'm not trying to pronounce that guy's last name, but you got Ayo, he's really good. Right? I know they just traded go ahead.
No, but to have two tight ends, I mean, that's an area where, you know, we saw the Patriots do it for years, right? When you have two big guys out there, if Jelani Woods is there, I mean, it put him in that offense where you could utilize him with Javonte Williams in terms of ground and pound. Now you have mismatch nightmares for opposing defenses.
I think Dallas would take Woods. They need a tight end. They like those kind of guys. And Jerry Jones likes freaks, for lack of a better term here. So I don't think Woods would get past Dallas. But that being said, I would like that. As much as I probably wouldn't be, I don't think it's an area of need for Denver. You are right. Teams do like two tight ends. And he would be good with Russell. So, yeah, I could see that. Right. But I don't think, like I said, as a Cowboy fan, I would hope Dallas would grab him.
Well, it just moved now. Now cornerback, as we're talking on FanDuel, just popped up. Corner now is 4-1. It's the favorite. So we'll see. Corner 4-1. Linebacker plus 450. I think it's either linebacker or tight end. I would take a shot on that in regards to Denver's first pick. I also sticking to my guns, Miami plus 650. Running back is the first selection in the third round. When George and I come back, we'll wrap it up. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, wrapping up today's show. Again, if you want wall-to-wall coverage for the NFL draft, Sports Grid will be live from Las Vegas. MGM Graham breaking it down. Coverage does start at 6 p.m. Pacific to 9 Pacific. That's 9 to midnight tonight, Eastern time. Andrew, before we go, Denver, I'll bring you up the Denver pick. What do you like on Denver? Do you like cornerback? Do you like linebacker? Or do you like offense or defensive line for the Broncos?
I think a lineman is one of the things that they got to get offensively. I think that's something that they need to address. Obviously, the acquisition of Russell Wilson being there, I think that's how they're going to move forward, making sure that he's as most comfortable, most protected as he possibly can be. Moving forward, I think that that's one of the things that they have to look at. But on the defensive side, getting a linebacker or a defensive lineman would definitely help in shoring up the defense for sure. But offensive line is what I'd be looking at first.
Yeah, agreed. George, if I had to give you a best round one grade, for which team you sticking your neck out based off of last night?
J-E-T-S, man. Can't believe it. Jets.
Really?
What they did. They hit the 3-day-1 starters. Man, they traded back in to get Johnson. I love what the Jets did. Love what the Jets did, Joe. I'm a J-E-T-S, baby.
All right, we'll see. I think the Giants had a pretty good draft as well. Solidified, obviously, the offense. Yeah, I like what the Giants did. Thibodeau to fall to number 5. I think Dable made the safe selection. This is a team in a rebuild right now. You build teams in terms of the interior. The other team that I thought nailed it last night was Philadelphia. Now, I include the A.J. Brown trade in that, and to get a player like Jordan Davis, 6'6", 341 pounds, runs a 4.7, 40. I said you build it from the inside out. Fletcher Cox, his mouth is better than his play right now. Jordan Davis is going to be the best player in this draft 3 to 4 years down the road. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Follow Sports Grid all weekend for your draft coverage. See you next week.